Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Vayeshev Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Vayeshev. It is a short Aliyah, only six psukim long, from Perek Lamedtes, Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Vav. Let's take a little brief look at the overview of our Aliyah and then some questions to think about. So the topic is Yosef's new life. At this point, we hear of Yosef who ride Mitzrayim. Yosef is brought down to Mitzrayim and he's bought by Potiphar, who is a servant. He is to Pharaoh. He is the Sar HaTabachim, he's the her chief slaughterer, and he is an Egyptian. He buys him from the Ishmaelim, and we hear that Hashem is with Yosef, and because of that, he is very, very successful in his Egyptian home. His master even notices that Hashem is with him in everything that he does, and Yosef finds favor in his eyes, so much so that this new master places him in charge of everything that he has in his house, everything barring El Salechem Asher Hu Achel, the bread that he eats, which Rashi tells us is a euphemism from the relationship with his wife, but everything else is given in the hands of Yosef. And at this point in time, we're also told by Yosef, Yafas Toar V'Yafas Mareh, he is beautiful of appearance and description. The first question we should be focusing on is the language of the first pasuk. V'Yosef Hurad Mitzrayimah, Yosef was taken down to Egypt. What is the purpose of this language? What is interesting is the Das Zakenim says is that this relates to, it's a very passive verb. He was taken down. It's not that he's an active player. He is a passive object on the playing field right at this point in time. The Das Zakenim explains that that is the purpose of this language, to describe that he really is part of the machinations of the Bris Ben Habasarim, the covenant between the parts. At this point in time, what is happening is he is now fulfilling the first step of this, which is, as he describes, it is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the calf away from the mother so that the cow will follow. And that's the explanation that Yosef is being taken away so that Yaakov and his brother and his children, Yosef's brothers, will follow him afterwards. However, there's another relevance to this word Hurad, and that is meant to parallel the immediately preceding Perek. If you think about it, the whole story we've been hearing about up till now is the story of Yosef. Yosef and his brothers, the tension that exists, the sale of Yosef, the almost death of Yosef, the news of Yosef's apparent death. And then we're about to hear about Yosef going down to Mitzrayim, and then we hear this whole episode in the previous Perek, the previous Aliyah, Perek Lamelches, which deals with the whole episode of Yehuda and Tamar. Which is fascinating. Why is that? Well, the starting words of that section is Vayhi Ba'esahi Vayered Yehuda Me'esechov. Yehuda went down from his brothers. Clearly, what Tanakh is doing over here is framing these two episodes, the episode of Yehuda and the episode of Yosef, as two descents, two parallel descents, which we're meant to be considering in unison, as two parallel stories winding their way towards each other and through each other. They are the protagonists and antagonists of the story, opposite each other. Rav Forman actually points out that there are many common themes that weave their way between these ideas. First, if you actually reverse one previous idea to the whole episode of the sale of Yosef, you'll notice that there is a lot that's shared in common with the Yehuda story as well. So in the previous topic, we hear about a journey to tend sheep. That's when Yosef is going down to tend the sheep of his brothers and go to see his brothers, and Yehuda is going to tend his sheep when the whole episode happens with Tamar and himself as well. We also hear about consolation, that Yehuda is Vayinochem Yehuda after the death of his wife, but his father refuses to be consoled as well. We hear about coats. We hear that Yosef's coat is taken and it's dipped in blood, and we hear about Yehuda having his coat taken as well, as in this time a collateral. It's interesting, in the third time we now have, as we're about to hear in the following Aliyah, we have Yosef's coat also taken, in that case as he leaves it in the hands of Mrs. Potiphar. So we see this very fascinating idea weaving its way through. In fact, also the notion of goats appears in all these Aliyahs. We have the idea of the goats that are used as the blood for the alibi of the loss of Yosef, and the goats are actually the collateral in Yehuda's episode as well. We also hear about an unfinalized death. We hear about the death of Yosef, which is not really a final death. And then we hear about Erev Onan, whose lives are sort of, their souls are still at stake, waiting for this idea of Yibum to perhaps solve them. We also hear about a lot of other interesting ideas, is that the garment is being used as a tool of deception. That's the brothers using the garment as a tool of deception against their father, Tamar using the garment as a tool of deception for the collateral of Yehuda. And then, as we talked about last aliyah, the recognition that is expressed of Yehuda being asked, "Do you recognize this?" Yehuda's recognizing the coat and him presenting the coat of Yosef to his father. So a lot of very, very fascinating parallels. First between the episode of the sale of Yosef, then the story of Yehuda and Tamar, and now even in this case, it follows through. It's almost as if, as the collateral damage of the sale of Yosef, we have to follow both Yosef's descent and Yehuda's descent. And then those descents are actually very much parallel in the sense that both of them have to do with a woman. Both of them have to do with a proactive woman and a person who is now confronted with a moral challenge, with a relationship which is not meant to be. How do they relate to that challenge? Do they release their garment in order to fulfill that relationship or to avoid that relationship is really what's happening between Yehuda and Yosef. And interestingly enough, Yosef is going to succeed. Yehuda is not going to succeed. He's going to have to recover from it as well. And this sort of sets into motion two different models as to the types of leaders. Yosef is going to be known as the tzaddik. Yosef is known as a person who remains righteous. Yehuda is going to be known as a baal tshuva, as a person who sinned but came back from that sin. He's able to recover from it. Two very different models of leadership, clearly meant to parallel each other in these two aliyahs, all encapsulated in the word vayered versus hurad of Yosef and Yehuda as well. Just two more very basic points, and that is, what did his master notice about Yosef? So Sorotskin points out that he noticed that he would call Hashem into his day-to-day life on a daily basis. In fact, the way Rav Hirsch says it is that we can rightfully assume that if Hashem was there with Yosef, it was because Yosef was there with Hashem. That means that even in amongst his adversity, he was able to renew his connection to Hashem, perhaps in a way that he may not have done if he were just in his regular hometown. It's also interesting to notice that this environment he is in was certainly not a spiritual fertile environment. In fact, we see indications that it could be that it's exactly the opposite. First of all, we're told that he's an official of Pharaoh, so running away from this kind of environment would be impossible. That would be a federal crime. Then also, he was also the Sarat HaBachim, is the chief slaughterer. The Mefarshim debate, does that mean to say that he was, shechted animals? Or no, he was the executioner. An executioner is a person who has to really hide away any of their tenderness and nice feelings and mercy about other people. So he's dealing with a very, very tough individual. And also, he was an Egyptian. As you know, the Egyptian culture was very antithetical to Semitic culture, to the ideas and mores of Abraham and his family. There are midrashim which suggest that Potiphar would buy slaves for all kinds of licentious purposes. This is a very, very complex environment he's in. And even in that environment, despite that environment, he's able to succeed. Finally, one last point to notice: at the end of the aliyah, we hear about the beauty of Yosef. Yosef is Yefas Tor v'Yefas Mareh. It's interesting to know that that is the description given to his mother, Rachel. So this seems to be some expression of that familial, the genetic beauty and attractiveness that is being expressed here. But Rashi also points out that what happened was, is as he succeeded, he started living it up. He started essentially saying to him, started eating and brushing his hair. And Hashem says, wait a second, your father's mourning and you're looking after your body. And that's when the challenge enters, and that's going to be our next aliyah. Complicated. Success is wonderful, but success often breeds other complicated issues when it comes to our spiritual journeys. With this, we close the aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful